That's what happens when you're frazzled. Welcome back from Kentucky, Dave. Oh, we have the mugs moved over. You know, this kind of outfit that we're running
here. I know.
I know it.
We're starting with the Buckeyes.
Well, Dave, you know, the heart of the rivalry may start with a single team, but all four of the programs we cover are equally as important, just like the four chambers of the heart have to act in concert.
That's true.
He's Toledo Blade sports columnist Dave Briggs. I am photographer and host of this fine college football program, Phil Kaplan, where we cover the illustrious college football programs of Ohio State, Michigan.
Tired after a long weekend. That was a great weekend of college football.
Bowling Green and Toledo which kept Dave's attention all the way down in Kentucky. How was the drive, or did you take private jet? You took the Blade private jet?
Yeah, well, on Friday morning, yeah, we just hopped on the BCI jet and got down there. So, yeah, pretty painless.
And when he says we, of course, he means Blade's sports writer and Toledo beat writer, Kyle Rowland, who will be joining us later, our first guest of the year.
I know, it's big.
I know that you're stoked. I know that you're totally stoked. Should we get right to Kyle?
Sure, let's go.
Let's get him in here.
Is it? Where is he?
He's going to appear right here magic of...
Oh, perfect. Okay, nice.
I almost said television. You know, one of the funniest things to me is when people see the Blade coming to report on anything and they're like,
yeah.
Am I going to be on TV?
Right. Well, that's a good question now, probably.
That's right.
We're digital first operation, Phil.
Let's get to Kyle Rowland.
All right.
Do you know that we're sponsored now, Kyle?
I heard that.
Yeah, Kyle's our Blade sports writer, and he is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson, the window replacement experts backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship. From consultation to installation, Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. Kyle, take us to the window of college football. How was your trip to Kentucky with one Mr. David Briggs?
Good time, nice weather. We don't root for or against teams, but it certainly would have been better had Toledo won. We like content, and Toledo playing well, I think, generally gives us better content. Didn't play their best, and I think that's probably the thing that kind of sticks with them is Toledo didn't play particularly well, still could have won the game.
I know that you just said we don't root for or against, but I know that we also like Toledo. We like Toledo's coach. We think he runs a good program. But when you come out the first game and you're riddled with penalties and you shoot yourself in the foot, that kind of looks like coaching.
Yeah, I mean, penalties certainly have been a well chronicled problem at times with Toledo. Definitely was an issue on Saturday. And not just that they had 11. Number one, some of them came at inopportune moments. And secondly, the opponent only had three.
SEC crew, we watched them coming in. We said, this crew is going to be a problem. We did watch them coming in. It was bizarre. They just got out of a little minivan, the whole crew, kind of like eight officials out of a clown car, just walk into the stadium. It was just like...
With their uniforms.
Like, only here could this happen.
Wouldn't you think they'd come in, like, in street clothes or something?
Hey, only here could this happen, in the place where they kind of care about... But imagine, like, before a big Kentucky basketball game, the officials just going through the crowd and then coming out through the crowd. It's like, okay.
I believe by Kyle's math, though, Toledo is still the fourth most penalized team in the country at this early stage. Was that right? Like, there's only a few teams more, and they had more, but five of them had played two games?
It's only one
exactly.
Week. Come on.
Okay, that's fair.
And I would like to go on a complete digression here. Kyle and I both picked close Toledo wins, but I want to call out Tom. We got in a little early and went to a horse farm in Kentucky on Friday called Old Friends. It's a place where retired racehorses retire, just all living their best life. Some of the big Derby winners and big names.
Oh,
of the past.
Man, that sounds cool.
I'll have another Silver Charm. And also the craziest thing was Silver Charm, who wins the first two legs of the Triple Crown in 97. He is living in a paddock directly opposite of the horse who robbed him of all of our hopes and dreams, and especially Silver Charm's hopes and dreams in the Belmont Touch Gold. So it'd be like if John Cooper is like living out his retirement in the paddock, and he has to look at like Lloyd Carr every life, and it's just like, well, what's and it, but anyway,
do you love that as rivals retiring together?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it has a movie script quality.
And you know they know each other. I mean, he's just kind of looking over like, yeah, I robbed you, or the other way. It's like I know I'm still better than you, but anyway, our tour guide was just he'd been there forever. Guy in his mid-70s, awesome guy, Tom. He, big Kentucky fan, he confidently said Toledo will win by 7 to 10 points. So he was more confident in Toledo than we were. So again, we all need a full accounting of our mistakes here.
So you're here to hold up
still covered.
Tour guide Tom,
yeah,
as the, you know, the fault bearer.
A little bit.
Okay.
I mean, he made me feel better about my pick. I mean, I was somewhat conflicted. I mean, it was a 50-50 game, but the thing that, and Briggs said this, I think, in his column after the game and in our video from the stadium, I mean, one of the reasons why I thought Toledo would win is because they always, like, rise up to the moment in these types of games. I mean, other than Ohio State, which is excusable, you know, to get blown out by Ohio State. I mean, they won both power conference games last year. They almost beat Illinois. They almost beat Notre Dame. They beat Arkansas. Like, they, year in, year out, they pretty much always play with or win these games. So that's kind of what I was betting on, especially, you know, a Kentucky team that isn't great. Program has had a lot of offseason turmoil. They brought in, I don't know, 50 new players, I think it was. I mean, an entire new defensive line, which is a pretty important position. Obviously, some of those guys, you know, are good, or at least played well against Toledo. So that's kind of where my prediction of Toledo winning came from.
And a Toledo team that, while always consistent, kind of has their chips pushed to the center a little bit this season. They return everybody with eligibility remaining, which is unheard of in this era for a G5 team in the free agency era. And you go out and get 15 guys from the portal, a lot of impact guys who have had a lot of starts at G5 schools or at the power conference level. So this is kind of a year where there are big expectations. And yeah, they always, at the very least, they almost always cover against power conference teams. I'm the only exception, unless Ohio State was favored by 1,000 points in the 2000. That was the only game I recall them not covering. So just, and again, just like Kyle kind of said, I mean, the disappointing part for Toledo, there's no shame in losing to an SEC team, no matter what the situation is, but Toledo did not play their best game. It was probably like a C-plus opener for Toledo. So that's kind of where you feel like there's a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Vegas had them losing by 7.5.
I think it was 9 at the end, so they did cover.
Okay. Well, so they're right around there. And then the game was played in a kind of a haze in the third quarter, it felt like, and a lot of penalties in the first, and it was 10-2 for a long time. And then there's a 28-point flurry in the fourth, basically. So from as an objective observer, didn't Toledo rise to about where they were expected to rise? They did show up. They didn't get run out of the gym.
No.
And then they lost by what?
They never had the ball down a touchdown in the fourth quarter. So it never felt like realistic that they could do something.
The effort was there. The execution was not.
If they play this game 10 times, does Toledo win 4 or 5?
Yeah, even after watching the game, I think Toledo wins 4 games out of 10.
Okay.
I mean, that's still...
They
did lose. I mean, the one area where they consistently lost was at the offensive line of scrimmage. But other than that, it was even, or at some positions, they probably had the advantage. So
Toledo definitely played hard the entire game. Give them credit for that. They didn't give up. And I think that is a little, the final score is kind of somewhat underrated, because, like, if Toledo does happen to go 11-1, like, only losing by a touchdown could end up being big. 24-9. Looks way different than 24-16 if this game, you know, has any sort of significance at the end.
2012, Northern Illinois loses to a 4-win Iowa team in the opener, comes back, top G5 team, goes to the Orange Bowl. So if that doesn't happen, I'll be surprised, but crazier than
you. Well, let me go back to the history, because he's got it dialed up. So after one game, I know you can already see deep into the future, but tell me, what unit did you think looks further along, offense or defense?
I mean, the defense played great, I think. I mean, that was definitely a defense that can win the MAC championship. I mean, the MAC did not do well this weekend.
They did not. Other than Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look very good. So, no, I mean, I see no reef defense.
Ohio did okay.
Against Rutgers.
Yeah. Ohio was the most impressive, even in defeat, I think.
A little bit.
But I see no reason why this defense, if it plays to that level, it'll certainly keep Toledo in every game. But, I mean, Saturday, I mean, it's just a monster game for Toledo. I mean, falling to 0-2, it just zaps all the momentum and excitement out of everything. Obviously, they still wouldn't have played a MAC game. So you can go, you know, undefeated in the MAC or whatever and still win the MAC title. But it just kind of robs us of everything we've talked about here in July and August. And confidence-wise, I mean, you just don't want to lose twice. I mean, the team, you know, maybe starts wondering, like, are we really any good?
Well, let's give the audience a little street sign here. Though the Toledo Rockets will not be staying in Kentucky, their opponents will remain from Kentucky. They will be playing the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Is that correct? And there, if I am also correct in my statistical analysis, this dude, McIver, is leading the nation in passing yards and also has 8 touchdowns against 0 interceptions. That's a test for your best unit, good-looking defense, right away.
Yeah, I think the offense, defense, you know, Western quarterback, Toledo secondary, the strength-on-strength matchup, I think will be fascinating to watch. I mean, it's a big-time test. I mean, obviously, Toledo lost to Western Kentucky last year. These programs are kind of like mirror images of each other. They both win a lot of games. They both have had head coaches that have been there longer than G5 head coaches are usually at programs. Western Kentucky produces a ton of NFL players. I think they've had a top 3 round draft pick 3 straight seasons, which is pretty impressive for a G5 program. And kind of like Toledo, other than when Western Kentucky played Ohio State, they generally play pretty well against power conference opponents. So, I mean, I think it's a monster test. I kind of think in a way it's better that Toledo is playing a quality opponent this week instead of an FCS team, because, I mean, you just immediately have to get right back into things. The energy, you know, has to stay high. You can't just kind of sleepwalk through an FCS opponent. It's going to be a near sellout, good weather, night game, good opponent. I think it'll be a fun scene on Saturday night at the Glass Bowl.
We'll get you out of here on this, Kyle. One, of course, the team says, hey, we're going to turn it around. We're going to take practice one day at a time. We're going to go out there and get our win. But what is your feeling on the sort of the emotional letdown of the team?
Definitely disappointed. We were there yesterday at the press conference. I mean, there's some, you know, heads hanging low, you know, that you can tell they Toledo absolutely believed it could or should beat Kentucky. There's no doubt. Like, they went down there to win. This wasn't like going to Columbus and collecting a paycheck. So, I mean, but that's Monday. I mean, I think as the week goes along, obviously, that's not going to linger. I mean, you can't let one loss, you know, lead into two, to use an old cliche. So I think come game day in that environment at home, the home opener, I think Toledo will absolutely be ready. I expect a shootout. I think Toledo will win. I was a little surprised. I mean, they're a 5.5-point favorite. That seemed kind of big for number one, Toledo lost, and number two, Western Kentucky having this great offense. But I don't know if they'll cover, but I think Toledo will win.
I also think Toledo will win a close game. It will be a higher scoring game, I would think. I think Toledo's defense is good enough, especially in the secondary, to slow them down a little bit. A little difficult to know what Western Kentucky's doing. I think an FCS team and Sam Houston State so far. So I would probably pick like a 28-24 win. I think the defense is able to slow them a little bit, so we'll see. It should be fun.
All right,
two things. Number one, I have a preview that's going to be published here. The Western Kentucky beat writer picked Toledo to win, if anyone cares about that.
Boy.
And number two,
Kentucky beat writer did pick Kentucky.
That's pandering. So Kentucky. That's that Southern charm. That's like them saying, "Oh, bless their heart." That's what they're saying.
Point number two, for anyone that's going to be in the dunk tank at the Glass Bowl on Saturday night, it'd be a nice night to do that. So, could be busy.
Endorsement of the dunk tank. All right, lay your reputation on the line with a useless score prediction. Give me a score.
35-31.
I'm afraid you're both wrong. Toledo's going to win 7-2. There will be another safety, but they'll get the victory this time. Low scoring affair.
All right, love it.
But they win by 5.
Yeah, okay, good.
7-2. Yeah. Kyle Rowland, thanks for joining us. We're going to have you on a few more times this season. Good luck in the Glass Bowl this Saturday.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Bye, Kyle. Bye, Whitney.
That was underwhelming. Can you believe that?
Let's talk about a win now.
Let's talk about some good news. Of all the programs, we had to start out with the one that is the only one to put the O first.
Yeah, the only one that was an underdog too, though, so in fairness.
That is fair. What do you think about lightning striking twice, Dave? Do you think it's a real phenomenon, or do you think it's just an idiom?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, depending on the... Are you talking about the lightning delay at the Bowling Green?
I'm talking
about the kickoff return for a touchdown.
I am talking about both occurrences.
I had to think
happening.
About where you were going there.
But for the second year in a row, yeah. Bowling Green starts with a kickoff return for a touchdown. But also the game is delayed by lightning. So is that three strikes of lightning or two?
I think that's three.
I think that's
lightning strikes twice plus the lightning. Three. I mean, that's just kind of obvious, right?
If you're Eddie George, you can't be happier about all the lightning surrounding your program.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just the electricity in the air is, I mean, you saw it.
There was actual electricity in the air.
So many lead possibilities that now I'm like, oh man, I wish I was there.
We're
watching closely though.
I had my notes, which are seem to have escaped me, where I wrote down who Bowling Green is playing this coming weekend. Is it the Chippewas?
They're at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Yeah. So what do you look for the Falcons at the Bearcats?
I think this is kind of our first real barometer. I mean, beating a Lafayette team, it's kind of middle to lower tier. The FCS is a very good opener. I think they kind of kept the game plan a little vanilla, especially after you get the big early lead. I think this is, like we were talking about with Toledo, Bowling Green in recent years has always kind of played really well in these big time games. And Cincinnati is a beatable opponent. Not saying they will, not predicting they will, but if you look over the years, Bowling Green's won at Georgia Tech. They won at Minnesota just last year. They play a couple top 10 teams on the road really close within a touchdown, Penn State and Texas A&M. So we'll see. I mean, again, it's 50 new players on Bowling Green, so who knows? But this will be a great barometer, and I think Bowling Green absolutely can keep it close. Should be fun.
I was watching Bill Belichick eat dirt last night. They said there's...
What a disaster. 70 new players. But that's also...
70?
Yeah.
70?
They also kind of came in promising the world, too, that they were going to kind of use this NFL scouting model, and they were going to kind of be able to flip it over immediately. Not be a contender immediately, but have a pretty good operation immediately with new players coached by the alleged best coaches in the world. So, absolute debacle. Total bill of goods, no pun intended.
I love it.
We will see.
Somebody at the Athletic is going to be writing an article titled Bill of Goods here pretty soon.
Absolutely.
So let's segue into, you know, a program that appears to be delivering with what it promised and what it acquired. And maybe its best coaches were ran out of town for not just allegations anymore, but the Michigan Wolverines, they're... Five-star, six-star. If there were extra stars, Bryce Underwood would have them.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Wolverines?
Their 6.5-star quarterback, Bryce Underwood, making his first start. As an 18-year-old,
right.
I mean, we watched a lot of that game on the way home. Thought he looked pretty good. I mean, certainly, I mean, God, compared to last year, it's like going from a high school quarterback to Joe Namath, just with the passing offense. So, again, who knows? New Mexico is a very, as FBS opponents go, it's about as low as it gets. I think their passing defense last year was the Los Lobos. I think their passing defense last year was 130th in the country. So,
isn't there only 132 teams?
134, I believe.
Okay.
I think 136 this year. So,
okay.
Maybe they can move up just by default.
That's right.
But, I mean, just he's as talented as you can get. I mean, a huge arm, great mobility, 6'4, 230. Although Ohio State fans were certainly suggesting he was a little more than that, with maybe ate a little too many cupcakes and not just.
We think
opponent.
He filled out.
Well,
we
I think
he's at the training table over the summer.
Well, I thought he looked better in this game. We're not body shaming or talking about that, but I mean, it's just
You got to take content.
Well,
you got to have some
people thought he looked a little bigger in the spring game, but No, he's an absolutely fantastic talent, and it'll be fascinating to see him on the road. It'll be kind of like that Arch Manning in Ohio Stadium situation. Your first big start, and this is kind of double that when you have an 18-year-old freshman going into a raucous scene in Oklahoma. Game day will be there, and they have a. The bigger question will be, how does Michigan's defense stop John Mateer, who's one of the Heisman favorites, threw for three touchdowns, 400 yards.
He's up there with Western Kentucky's quarterback in stats.
Right. He is. Whatever opponent, Illinois State. But we saw him last year. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the transfer portal. I would argue he was actually the top get in the portal, even over Miami's Carson Beck. That'll be a big test. Would pick Oklahoma to win a close one. But, again, fascinating game.
This guy's a total pro over here. He already segued mid-take into the Ohio State, Texas. As big of a start to the season as you could hope for. And then, you know, Ohio State's defense came out and said, we're going to be the ones that control this game. And I feel like a lot of the fireworks went out of the game pretty quickly as they just wore Arch Manning down. And he showed himself to be in need of experience.
Yeah. And how about Matt Patricia for his debut? I think a lot of us criticized that.
Called a pretty good game.
Yeah, called a pretty good game. I completely wrote him off after his first game as a head coach with the Lions. They lost 48-17 against the Jets with a team coming off
different
a
animal, the NFL, know, and different animal being a head coach.
I know, but I was just going to say, like, that was that first impression. This is completely different. And to be fair, my reservations about Matt Patricia had nothing to do with his time as head coach and everything to do with his time as a defensive coordinator in New England, where it was just... Okay, he's working for one of the greatest defensive minds in Bill Belichick last night's game, notwithstanding. And it's just like, is this a guy who's along for the ride in a class project? Because statistically, a Belichick coached New England for 24 seasons. Matt Patricia called the plays for 8 of those seasons. And the defense was actually statistically worse in the seasons that Patricia was the play caller. So it just kind of seemed like just kind of cogs in the machine calling Belichick's defense. So it's hard to read anything into it. But... that being said, a great debut in the defensive coordinator role for Ohio State. It helps a lot when you have the best player in the country on defense. When you have all Americans, probably 3 all Americans on that defense. Everyone on 10 of the 11 starters are top 150 recruits. The one who is not, I think he was number 211 nationally out of Cleveland, Arvell Reese. Just a dynamite debut, 10 tackles, a sack, kind of the breakthrough star.
He plays with ferocity.
Yeah, and even though he was the lowest rated recruit on that defense, probably would be the top rated recruit on 14 of the 18 Big Ten defenses. So that just shows you the talent Matt Patricia is working with. I do think maybe we're talking a little too much about Matt Patricia's X's and O's brilliance and not enough about all the talent Ohio State still has, even with replacing 8 starters. But again, flipping back, saying that being said again, Patricia did call a good game. I mean, he dipped deep into his bag of tricks. They were mixing up the fronts. They were moving Downs and the safeties all over the place.
Caleb Downs is a coach on the field.
He's worth every bit of the millions they're paying him. Steve Sarkisian, who's one of the elite play callers in the game, said Ohio State and Patricia disguised play calling at, quote, an elite level. So... who knows? It's just one game. Kind of Patricia had the element of surprise. Great players. You're going up against a quarterback who looked a little rattled. Who knows how much of that is Ohio State's defense, how much of that is Arch Manning just playing his first game in a crazy environment. But for debuts, this is as good as it gets. And I was right to have Ohio State number one. I'm keeping them there.
It's 50-50, Dave. The heart
is
of the
this the year? Is this the year for Ryan Day and Ohio State?
It's only 50-50. Time will tell.
And by the way, is Ohio State on the greatest 5-game run in college football history?
Ooh, that's a good insight.
I don't really know if there's any comparison because you beat 5 games in a row. You beat number 7 Tennessee. You beat number 1 Oregon. You beat number 4 Texas. You beat number 3 Notre Dame. And then you beat number 1 Texas. So you have a demolition of a number 1 team in Oregon, a good win over number 1 Texas, 5 straight top 10 wins. I can't imagine... we'll have to have the Elias Sports Bureau look that up, but I can't imagine there's really been anything close to that.
He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. This has been another episode of The Heart of the Rivalry, which is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. Ready to transform your home? With Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get another 40% off. But only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com.
Pretty good, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. I'm a pro. Pretty good show. We had a guest. You got to get it together and play Grambling.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
See you next week, Dave.
Big time.
We'll see.
Appreciate you. Only time will tell. We're all day to day here.
We're all day to day here.